We've come now to Acts chapter 19. And we certainly understand by looking at the Word of God that the Word of God places a great deal of emphasis on baptism. Therefore, we should also. The Bible stresses that baptism is not to be just some type of mere ritual, but it's an act that's done with forethought, and it's an act that's done with understanding of what baptism signifies. If you strip baptism away from its purpose and meaning, there's no blessings that's associated with it at all. We find that in Acts chapter 19, the first 7 verses. So read with me, please. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So we notice here that while Apollos is laboring in Corinth, Paul leaves Antioch, where he was, and goes back to Ephesus. When he gets back to Ephesus, he finds certain disciples. But were these disciples Christians? Now, normally, when we see the word disciple in the New Testament, it refers to a Christian. But we see here that they weren't. These disciples were not Christians. They weren't New Testament Christians. So Paul asked these disciples a question. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, apparently Paul did not know at this point much about them. In other words, he didn't know that they were Christians or not Christians, because he was certainly ready to impart some spiritual gifts upon them. And of course, he had done that several times before to different individuals. Because he was an apostle, he had the power to impart spiritual gifts. But their answer was what caused Paul kind of to have some bells going off, alarms going off. But they responded, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Now, if you have a different translation, you may have something like, "We have not even heard that the Holy Spirit's been given," which is probably closer to what he's actually asking them. Because they knew that there was a Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about that. They had been baptized into John's baptism. John taught about the Holy Spirit. So they had heard about the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament talks about the Holy Spirit from Genesis chapter 1 on. So it wasn't that they didn't know, period, anything about the Holy Spirit, but they certainly didn't know the Holy Spirit as far as what it was associated with baptism. Their response seems to indicate that they didn't know the Holy Spirit had come or had been given. That's what it seems to indicate. In other words, their understanding wasn't complete. And that's what's critical here. That is the real issue. So Paul, when he hears that, there's the bells going off, alarms going off. Paul says there's something not right. He was now sure, he was positive, that there was something wrong with their baptism. Christian baptism, and I know some people don't like that phrase. I like the phrase. The baptism of the Great Commission, we could call it. I'm calling it Christian baptism. Christian baptism had connection with the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus' conversation, or the conversation that in John chapter 3 about being born of water and what? The Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2, when the church began, what did Peter tell them? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll do what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Christian baptism has an association with the Holy Spirit. So Paul asked then, after that, after their answer, which caused them to start thinking their baptism wasn't accurate, wasn't appropriate, wasn't proper, he asked them, well then in what were you immersed? In what were you baptized? Now notice he automatically assumes that they were baptized. But he wants to know, into what were you baptized then? See, he knows something is wrong. And this is a great lesson for us when we're talking with people about salvation and the church and Christ and about baptism. This gives us insight into the type of questions we need to ask. So Paul asked then, what were you baptized into? Because if it had been a scriptural, God-approved baptism, they would have known about the Holy Spirit. They would have had to have known about it. So here's one of the first and maybe the most important thing we understand here. We come to see, and it's a very important one. A proper baptism requires adequate and accurate information. It requires adequate and accurate information. So they come back and say, we were baptized into John's baptism. Now see, these men did not know that John's baptism was no longer valid. It wasn't. It was outdated. Now there was a time period where it was fine. John's baptism was valid. One reference I read, and I think this is very appropriate, says we could make an analogy between using an outdated map. We could go back 100 years and look at a map of our area in St. Louis. There's a whole lot of roads that wouldn't be on that map. I-44 for one, but a lot of others as well. And if we went back to use that map, it wouldn't be accurate. It was accurate for the time. 100 years ago, it was an accurate map. And it was perfectly valid. But it wasn't valid anymore. That's the way it was with John's baptism. Back before the cross, it was a valid baptism. It was fine. It wasn't outdated. Now it was outdated. It wasn't accurate anymore, and you could no longer find your way by using John's baptism. It was obsolete. In other words, they had been using an outdated map. They needed an updated one, if you will. Wasn't the fault of John's baptism, because it was a good baptism when it was valid. But it wasn't valid anymore. So what does Paul do? He fills in the missing knowledge. He said there's a gap here between John's baptism and Christian baptism. I'm going to fill that gap in. So the first thing he does is he said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. If you go back and look in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, Mark, Matthew, you'll see, if you put all three of those together, what John's baptism was. John's baptism prepared the way of the Lord. It was to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. That was its purpose. It was also to, there was an immersion for the forgiveness of sins. That's what it was for. They were immersed, they were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Plain and simple, that's what the Bible says. It was for the forgiveness of sins. It also stressed repentance, remember. See, John wanted the Jews, and that's to whom he spoke, he wanted the Jews to become more serious about observing the old law. Because during John's baptism, the old law of Moses was still in effect. So during that time of John's baptism, when it was valid, the law of Moses was also valid. It's a very unique time in the history of man. It involved confessing one's sins. In Mark chapter 1, John is telling the people that they need to confess sins. That was part of John's baptism. But, and this was one of the biggest differences between John's baptism and Christian baptism, was that John's baptism told the people they were to believe on the one who was to come, Jesus Christ. Because he hadn't came yet. Christian baptism is because Jesus has come. So what do? Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So after hearing what Paul had to say, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Christian baptism. New Testament baptism. Now they could have gotten upset. They could have gotten angry at what Paul was telling them. Now, they could have had the attitude, you're telling me that my baptism wasn't valid? It wasn't proper. It wasn't accepted by God. They could have insisted that any baptism was okay as long as it was a baptism. But they didn't. See, they had good, receptive hearts. When they heard the truth, when they heard that their baptism wasn't proper, wasn't valid anymore, they didn't argue. They accepted it. What did they do? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what they did. So why was John's baptism no longer acceptable? Why was it no longer acceptable? And it's a very valid question because of all the different types of baptisms we see in the world today. So by looking at why John's wasn't valid, we can come to understand why the Bible says there's only one baptism. By the time Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in the mid-60s A.D., what did he say? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There was only one. Call it Christian baptism, call it New Testament baptism. But Christian baptism is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes to the church at Rome and he tells them this, beginning in verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Christian baptism, the only valid baptism there is today, is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When was it instituted? It was instituted on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, these disciples of John were baptized into John's baptism after Pentecost. Because if they were baptized before Pentecost, their baptism would have been valid, would have been fine. But see, they didn't know. Some people today would say, well, they didn't know, so surely God would have accepted it. It's not what Paul said. Paul said, ignorance is not bliss. So he taught them further. He taught them further. Now, they weren't rebaptized because they hadn't been properly baptized at all. They had to be scripturally immersed. Then they, of course, would have been accepted into the family of God there. What application do I need to make from this? And it's an important one. One very obvious one is Sometimes baptism is not baptism. Sometimes baptism is not baptism. Occasions can occur when someone has undergone an immersion in water, even for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness of sins. Yet it's not Christian baptism. And that's what we learn from this account in Acts 19. Even being immersed for the forgiveness of sins is not necessarily Christian baptism, the baptism that saves. So that leads us, obviously, then, how can I know? How can I know if I've been baptized and my baptism has been acceptable to God? Well, there's only one way to know, and that's, of course, go straight to the Bible. That's the only way to know. The Bible says that baptism has to be preceded by faith. Faith in Jesus as Lord. Faith that He's been raised from the dead. Faith that His blood has the power to wash away sins. That's the basis for all of this. But baptism has to be preceded by that faith. It also has to be preceded by repentance. Here's what I wrote down. A determined resolve to begin a new life. To turn away from the old life of sin and submit to Christ as Lord and Master. So you're no longer submitting to religious bodies or religious groups, but to Christ and Him alone. Baptism has to be preceded by confession. It's a confession of faith in Christ as Lord. It's a verbal commitment to Jesus. It's a pledge of allegiance to Him. That's what it is. It's a serious commitment. And then one needs to have an understanding of what baptism is. It's authorized by Jesus. And there's only one now that's authorized by Jesus. The one that's done in His name. And one needs to know that one is not saved until he's baptized properly. One's not to be baptized just to please other people or because other people are doing it. It's not to join a denomination. It's not some sort of outward sign of an inward cleansing. It's not just because that's the thing that's expected. One must understand that it's at that point and not before that one comes in contact with the blood of Christ and his sins are washed away. We learn a lot from these seven short verses in Acts 19. Baptism is not always baptism. There's only one baptism that God now accepts. There's only one that's valid. There's only one that pardons our sins. There's only one that saves. And that's why we have to examine our baptism. Was it Christian baptism? Was it New Testament baptism? See, that's the question we have to ask. This morning, then, the lesson is yours. If you are in need of responding to that great gospel invitation, or if you're in need of prayers or whatever, then we want you to come as we stand and sing this song.